When I imagine Nicodemus, the Pharisee, coming to Jesus in the quiet of the night, under the cover of darkness, imagine him lightly rapping on the doorpost where Jesus is sleeping. And I've seen pictures drawn of the scene, and there's Jesus and Nicodemus on the roof of the house under the stars. They're talking quietly so as not to disturb the others in the house. In this quiet, this reading from Gospel of John, it's a devotional scene. Nicodemus may be skeptical or too scared to come to talk to Jesus during the day, but it's a devotional scene. It's the quiet of night. It's a quiet conversation about faith. It's one way to imagine it. Except if you look at it again, Nicodemus is really talking too much to match that mood. He shows up, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." There's probably no audience there, but Nicodemus is talking a little too loud. It's one of those guys who's trying to impress the VIP right away, you know, a little too much flattery. He's kind of laying it on a bit thick. "Oh, we know you come from God." The mood might be more, not that quiet mood I described, the mood might be more something like there's a house party going on, thrown in honor of Jesus. There's loud talking and eating and drinking. There's music. There's a crowd in the house. And Nicodemus is there, and he spots his chance. And he hustles Jesus into a corner or up the ladder to the roof. "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." We actually never find out what Nicodemus came to say to Jesus. We hear him trying to butter up Jesus with his loud party voice. But then Jesus hijacks the conversation with a response that is mysterious, reflective, slow. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's actually the kind of thing that demands silence, invites silence, reflection. It's like the sip of an incredibly good wine that you keep in your mouth to make sure you notice all of its notes, its mouth feel. Jesus speaks these words, and you can almost imagine that you're supposed to keep those words right there. To be born again. To see the kingdom of God. And to ask the question, like, can God make me new? Will Jesus help me see the kingdom of God? That's what this is inviting. But that's not the mood of Nicodemus. He's hopped up on the party or the celebrity of Jesus or his own cleverness or his own anxiety, so there's no silence. He just jumps right in. "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" He laughs at the absurdity of it, the humor of what he just said. He made a good one, right? He made a good joke there. Jesus, though, is just quiet for a beat. Then out of the same silence he started with, out of the same reflective mood, Jesus just really repeats and expands what he said before. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." For Nicodemus, maybe in that moment, maybe the sounds of the party downstairs just get a little muffled by these hushed, reflective words of Jesus. Maybe it's now time for Nicodemus to have silence. For a beat. And then a little urgently, certainly a little softer, Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Nicodemus is trying to listen. And as far as we can see here, Nicodemus went silent. Jesus continued to teach. Nicodemus went silent. Apparently listened to the words of Jesus, kept them in his mouth like good, good wine, remembering all the notes and the mouthfeel of Jesus and these words of life, remembered them so vividly that he must have told John, the gospel writer, about them later so that John could write them down. You see, we began in the noisiness of the world and the noisiness of the party and Nicodemus's own noise in his own head and heart. He began in the deafening noise that keeps the things of God silent. But then Jesus invited Nicodemus into the divine silence to reflect on God's word, to become deaf to the world for a moment so that he could hear and meditate on what Jesus said. It's a deafening silence. It's a deafening silence that continues until midway through the Gospel of John when Nicodemus shows up again among the Pharisees and tries to say that they should give Jesus a fair trial, and Nicodemus is shouted down. And he goes silent again. But apparently he's still meditating on the words of Jesus. Apparently they came to shape him as a disciple, born again, to see the kingdom of God. Jesus dies on the cross, and Nicodemus goes with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body down. We don't hear Nicodemus say anything else, but that night we hear that he brought a very large quantity of expensive perfume to anoint the body for burial. Nicodemus was invited into silence to hear the word of Jesus and to keep meditating on that word, born again, to see the kingdom of God. And that brings us to tonight's quote from Henry Nouwen that you have in the bulletin. Two quotes there. And they seem to like they might describe something that came to shape the life of Nicodemus, this idea of silence in our life as disciples. I think these quotes also describe what it means to have a slow Lent life, a slow Lent life that could free us from noise and busyness, free us in the love and the grace and the peace of Jesus. So hear them. Hear them out of a place of quietness. The word discipleship and the word discipline are the same word, which has always fascinated me. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we have to live a disciplined life. By discipline, I do not mean control. In the spiritual life, the word discipline means the effort to create some space in which God can act. Discipline means to prevent everything in your life from being filled up. Discipline means that somewhere you're not occupied and certainly not preoccupied. In the spiritual life, discipline means to create that space in which something can happen that you hadn't planned or count it on. Creating an empty space where we can listen to God's Spirit is not easy when we are putting all our energy into fighting distractions. We have, however, the words of Scripture to pay attention. A psalm, a parable, a biblical story, a saying of Jesus, born again to see the kingdom of God. Or a word from Paul, or Peter, James, Jude, or John can help us focus our attention on God's presence. Thus, we deprive those many other things of their power over us. When we place words from the Scriptures in the center of our silence, such words whether a short expression, a few sentences, or a longer text, can function as the point to which we return when we have wandered off in different directions. These words form a safe anchoring place in a stormy sea. I can imagine those words of Jesus for Nicodemus being a safe place to be anchored in the stormy sea of what would transpire over the next couple of years as the Pharisees sought to kill Jesus, and yet Nicodemus was born again. Nouwen talks about all those distractions as being like a bunch of monkeys in a banana tree in our heads, like they're just constantly movement. But he says the Word of God helps us to focus again. Almost as if to either get the monkeys to slow down, go to sleep, or move on to a different tree. To slow down. To hear the Word of God. So let's practice for a moment. Let's practice silence. I'm going to repeat the words of Jesus as something to focus on. I'm going to repeat those words, and then I'm going to give us a minute of silence to taste the words, to taste the notes, the mouthfeel of those words, to be silent with God's word. The monkeys will be in the banana trees. But focus on these words. Let's practice silence. That's what discipline means, is to practice. So let me read the words. And then give us a minute to reflect. Unless one is born again, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Is that uncomfortable? Difficult being silent for a minute? That wasn't even a minute. That was 30 seconds. It's difficult. Let's try it again. There's a reason I'm having to look at my watch, because it's difficult being quiet in a room together. To be silent and hear God's word, it sounds great until you're leading it and trying to stay quiet. And not interrupt it. It's the same in our head, too. It sounds wonderful until we want to interrupt it. Let's try it again. This time, I'm going to go for a minute. We're going to go for a minute, chewing on God's word. And this time, remember that you also might be like Nicodemus. You came in here loud and talkative or anxious, or you were in a party mood. And here's Jesus in his gospel of love and grace. Mercy, inviting you into silence, inviting you into his peace, the salvation that is in his hands, that all that striving that we normally do is the noisiness, the busyness. And here Jesus has said, salvation is in my hands. Come, listen, be silent, be at peace. The silence of God's word, it's reflective, it's receptive. It's repeating his word instead of all the monkeys and the banana tree. Your rapid-fire questions have become Nicodemus's tentative slowing down. How can these things be? Truly, truly, I say to you, because you are born again, born of the water and the Spirit, you will see the kingdom of God. Amen.